Fearabin.
So, good morning, panel. My name's Andrew Fearabin, and I'm employed by Meridian Energy, the Statutory Client Strategy Manager. I am presenting some company evidence here today. I have a couple of slides I want to refer to. I'll be very brief in the context, but I think it's important just to understand the context of the Manapouri Power Scheme and that it is part of the national network. It can't be seen in isolation. It covers planned outages and provides for spinning reserve in that context. And as Mr. Christian already covered, it provides approximately 12% of the national electricity supply. I think this diagram is really useful in the context of how the system works. It's very dependent on inflows. It's the largest hydroelectricity scheme in New Zealand with an 850 megawatt output. It's different to the Waitaki scheme in that it's a very limited storage scheme. Basically, inflows in, inflows out. And that's demonstrated, I'll show you on the next slide, in terms of the operating range. But compared with Pukaki, it's in the main operating range, it's less than 2 metres of operational range compared with 14.5 metres of operational range in the Waitaki scheme. The slide here, which is a little bit hard to decipher.
Thanks for that.
The point you can take out of this here is it shows the operating range, the different operating ranges within the scheme. The total operational range within those, within both lakes, is less than 4 metres, just reinforcing that issue. It's water in, water out, and relies on high rainfall. Mr. Christensen's touched on this to quite some extent. The fact that this scheme is unique in the sense that it's run under a dual authorisation system. Part of it, in terms of discharge and takes, primarily dealt with under the Resource Management Act. In terms of the physical kit, most of that is constructed and operated under Untada. The other two key things I'll pull out of this is that in terms of the RMA provisions, obviously we report and it's managed by Environment Southland. In terms of the Untada provisions, they're overseen by a group of, or a body called the Lake Manapouri Te Anau Guardians, which have a statutory mandate, and we have a statutory requirement to report to them in the context of environmental effects, lake level management, and in terms of any guideline breach, we have a reporting requirement to them in the context of that as well. Interestingly, the 1996 consents, which were authorised the scheme's operation under the Resource Management Act, were developed through a collaborative process. It was quite unique in terms of bringing all stakeholders together around the table, working through a process delivered an outcome that was then delivered to Environment Southland, and that was by and large accepted by Environment Southland, formed the suite of consents that followed. There were also a number of mitigation packages that fell out of that in the context of the environment flows. The Meridian interest, I think Stephen Christensen has well and truly gone over that, so I don't intend to dwell on that slide, but quite happy to answer any questions that the panel may have.
Thank you very much for that. Mark, you're into the
thing. Oh, thank you. Some of these might have already been covered, but I've got them there. In paragraph 47 of your evidence, talk about the Upper Waiau having an average mean flow of 92 cumecs would result in significant loss of power generation, but that's only the lower Waiau that would cause the loss, wouldn't it, because the upper Waiau really gets to 92 cumecs.
Is that paragraph
74?
74,
sorry. Did I say 47? It's my maths, sorry. It's a minor point, really, but just it's really the lower Waiau.
No, it would be both, because you've got to apply the 7-day melt in in terms of that particular stretch of the river.
But the wire, the upper wire really gets to that low.
Mm. Oh, that's the point you're making.
Yeah.
So that's a good comment.
Wouldn't be operative, I wouldn't think. Going to paragraph 78 then, because it is the right number. As I mentioned earlier, I have a lot of knowledge about this as well because I've been involved with Meridian, but perhaps, Mr. Ferriden, you could explain some of the issues with flushing flows and how it can't always be provided for.
In terms of the resource consents we currently have, Meridian is committed to a voluntary flow regime, which again was worked out in consultation with a number of stakeholders. That voluntary flushing protocol provides for Meridian to manage purified them through a system of reviewing the status of the river from a point of view of SCI, and when it goes to what we call a red condition, that would suggest that Meridian should push a supplementary flow to the lower river with an average flow of 120 cubics over 24-hour period, peaking at 160. Invariably, we endeavour to do that, but it's fair to say that invariably, when the SCI index is high, inflows are low. So a consequence of that is when Lake Manapouri falls to a lake level of around 177 metres, it's impossible to put water down the system to reach that flow requirement to knock the SCI index back to what we call an amber or green state. What we have been working with the Wire Working Party recent times is looking at options around nuisance purifier management and looking at how we might use different flows to get a better outcome. But there's always going to be that difficulty, and I guess that's one of the issues that Mr. James has raised, particularly around meeting some of the Appendix E requirements in terms of the ability for the infrastructure to actually be able to provide the flows required to manage purifying to, in this case, Didymo, to a state which would be considered to be ideal. So it's fair to say we have a system in place at the moment. We've agreed with the community and stakeholders, Environment Southland, about how we might manage that particular a nuisance purifier, but there are physical problems which can impact on the effectiveness of those flows and when they can be provided.
Okay, I've got some others, but I think they've already been dealt with, so thank you very much.
No questions.
Just one small matter, I think I've getting an understanding of it. The Didymo and the other periphytons are quite difficult to manage. You can deal with one, but you can't deal with the other that well. But flow fixes one, but it can't fix the other. Is that correct?
That's probably a question you want to ask Mr. James.
So what I'm trying to get, and I think I'm right in the fact that within the best endeavours that you have the ability to do, sometimes you just physically can't do them for the structures you have in place.
That's right. Yeah. Physically, we can't deliver the flow from Lake Manapouri to the lower river that achieves the outcome that everyone's looking for.
Thank you. No question.
Paragraph 37. I'm unclear what you're asking us to do or not to do.
I think the point that we have raised through Meridian submission is that, and I recognise that some of the allocation table has been carried through from the previous plan, is it sets an expectation around allocation for irrigation. And what I think what Meridian's view about that is that any provision of water for irrigation is likely to have consequences in terms of water quality. And those two factors need to be managed together or thought about together from a point of view of a plan perspective. And so effectively through this process, I guess we're raising the flag that from Meridian's position, the sub-catchment process is the place for that to be dealt with. And I know there's other submitters who have asked for allocations of water for irrigation.
Okay, so in your paragraph 37, are you addressing really those submitters that have asked for the allocation to be changed to provide more irrigation water? Is that what you're aiming at?
Yes, and what the plan, yeah, in terms of what the current direction of the plan is.
Paragraph 82. So you understand that this panel is not the regional council, so we can't do what you ask for any of the paragraphs 82 or 83. And we won't be doing that in our decision either.
I think I can accept that. When this evidence was written, the clarity, I guess, around national processes wasn't quite as it is now.
Yeah. All right, thanks very much for that.
Thank you. I think we